This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
VX is one of the most potent chemical weapons. It can kill almost instantly.
Just 1/100th of a gram smeared on his skin or eye would have been enough to kill him.
The highly toxic substance is classified by the United Nations as a weapon of mass destruction and banned under the Chemical Weapons Convention.
Tiny drop of a VX agent can kill within a minute. It can absorb to the skin or eye, whatever the body part.
VX shuts down the enzyme that regulates your nervous system, and so your nervous system goes crazy, which is why you see things like convulsions, and eventually you just stop breathing.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Meera Sivasodhi. It's our Health and Living segment. It's Friday and that only means Dr. George Lee, consultant urologist, in the studio with us.
Hello, good afternoon. I'm excited. I'm so excited.
I know, you're shaking, George.
I am shaking.
Is there any reason why?
Not in fear, but in excitement.
Are you
right?
Sure?
Yes, indeed. I think VX kind of like paralyzes you rather than just kind of get you drop dead. Not quite just kind of getting me into these, you know, repeated tremors.
Right? Okay, all right.
No. I know
how to get to you, really.
That's right.
All right.
Get me excited. Just like a big kid, really, isn't it?
So the authorities have reported this individual, who the media have been referring to as Kim Jong-nam, is the half-brother of North Korea's leader. He has been killed by a VX nerve agent. Of course, there's some contradicting take on that by the North Koreans at the moment. But this substance is what we want to focus on today. It's a chemical weapon, and if you've not heard of it before, there's a reason for that, because most of its global stockpiles have been destroyed after the Chemical Weapons Convention came into force in 1997. There have been some instances where it has been used in Syria, somebody with us who will give us much more insights on this nerve gas, and that is Dr. Alzamani Idrus. He's an emergency physician and disaster medicine specialist from Hospital Kuala Lumpur. Welcome to the show, Dr. Alza. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank
it's
you.
It's wonderful to have you here.
I know.
George and I, we can't wait to interrogate you on what this is all about.
I think I'm getting some of the symptoms of the
really?
Yes. Tremors.
Okay, so if you have a question on the nerve gas, we don't want to comment on the case because there's a lot of uncertainties, but how the nerve gas actually works and, you know, as the public, should we be concerned about the availability of this substance in our society? Well, give us a call. The number is 03-77-109-000. You can tweet BFM Radio or text WhatsApp us on 016-201-9000. First of all, let's go through. The minister has had a press conference over the week. He's been having press conferences over almost every other day.
Malaysia is on the
spotlight. He's a very busy man.
That's right.
And I think a good thing is the fact that he's a medical practitioner himself. Mm. This chemical stuff is coming quite easily to him. You know, I can almost feel the smug in his voice that, you know, if you only know what I'm talking about.
So, you know, if the minister can actually survive Meera's interrogation, she can survive the world global media's attention anytime.
But this is up his alley. I can't even pronounce it, Dr. Alza, this agent. Could you just go through with me what's it called again? I know it's easier one is organophosphate.
Phosphate.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yes.
But there is a very long chemical name to that.
Yes.
What is it?
Well, it's these nerve agents. They are basically the compound are made of carbon and phosphorus. And together they form organophosphate. And this is the same compound used for insecticides.
Mm.
And it is not an uncommon case that we see in throughout our emergency rooms throughout Malaysia. We see people trying to commit suicide, ingesting these insecticides. And basically the basic compound exactly the same as that you would find in nerve agents. And these nerve agents, how they work is basically there is this chemical that is called acetylcholine that helps to transmit nerve impulses throughout the body. And it keeps on working, but as it works, when it binds to the muscles of the body, whatever muscles there is, it will be broken up. by the enzyme, which is called acetylcholinesterase. And what nerve agents do, it would block this capability to break this chemical substance up, the acetylcholine. So it will stay working and putting the body in hyperdrive. And whatever it would affect, it would cause the excessive effect, like all that was were mentioned just now. Like you will have sweating, you will have vomiting, you will have salivation, diarrhea, and even moving on to tremor and all this, you will basically in the end could drown in the secretions and your heart slows down and you die. So these nerve agents that we talk about basically are the same, just in basic compound, only that the potency is much more when it was used to develop as a chemical warfare agent. And this is when we come to the point that this example of VX is actually a later generation of nerve agents and had been developed for chemical warfare and was intended to be used extensively in war. Mm. But later on, because of the Chemical Weapon Convention passed under the United Nations, that we had some activities to stop this from happening.
Okay, yep. Which then, you know, brings me to how on earth did it find its way into this country, right? I mean, we won't know how that happened, but...
Yeah, I think that's an interesting question. Mm. Because when we talk about VX, I mean, there are many types of agents, nerve agents. It all started with tabuns, sarin, soman. Those agents were used earlier on, before VX came along. Mm. But VX is the most potent, that it's like easily like 100 times more powerful compared to sarin, for example. That one drop could kill. Right. As little as 10 milligram could kill. So this could be easily smuggled.
Yeah.
But the only thing is that we have a control measure, because Malaysia is also part of the organization for the Prevention of Chemical Weapon. Mm-hmm. We are one of the signatories. So we have trained national inspectors going around the country inspecting the facilities and also control of import. So, in fact, it was one... it is currently one of the items in the Chemical Weapon Act in 2005, that at any installations, you cannot have more than 100 milligram of the compound in a year. So there is an ongoing inspection activities. But this is a one-off thing. Yeah. But, you know, with all this conspiracy and all that, we're not going to comment. I would not know that because...
Yeah, so because obviously, this is a kind of like under international media scrutiny. Yeah. And
so I think
like
the objective is just to try to get some awareness and so that the public would understand and how it works and that we have some measures that have been ongoing in preparing for this.
Well, I mean, I'm really impressed. Like, you know, whenever we have... you know, in inverted commas, disasters or some major crisis like this. And suddenly we realize that everything actually is reassuring to know that a lot of things are in place. Like, you know, for example, you know, we have all these contingency measures and things like that. When Mira introduced you, I was very impressed as well. I mean, you obviously, you know, in
HKL,
and then you deal with major disasters. Would you like to tell, you know, the listeners a little bit about how, you know, in HKL you function when it comes to, you know, something like this and then toxicologies and things like that. You know, would you like to explain a little bit of your job scope?
My job scope.
And also, you know, in history, I mean, have you come across or have you had
exactly
to deal
then,
with
yes.
situations
yes.
like these?
I'm an emergency physician. So basically, I'm unlike a urologist, I can't choose my patients.
Right, yeah? Okay.
So they will come.
you know? I can choose certain ones. Yes. So most of the time, they choose you, right?
Yeah. Okay. So my patients, you can't have scheduled appointment. Right. You can't choose who they are from which discipline. Yeah. But as long as they're in emergency situations, that is where we come in. So we are trained not to choose patients, and we can't choose patients, and we can't choose situations, and the time we see them. So one of the things that we actually deal, this is very common for us, is that this organophosphate poisoning.
Right.
These are all these insecticide dose.
So let's say there's a major disaster. Let's say, you know, God forbid, any kind of like a spillage in the motorway, yeah. And then there's a lot of pesticide that is a lot of people get yeah. contaminated. Yeah. Like herds of people will be, heading towards HKL. How sort of disaster plans or, you know, set of yeah. things that you will deal with?
Yes. We did develop disaster plans for, in fact, all hospitals in Malaysia have their own disaster plans. And those include what we call CBRNE, chemical, biological, radiological, nuclear, and explosion. We deal with mass casualty situation. And there's no one superhero could save the day.
Right.
Now, we work a lot with other agencies to handle the situations.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of resources that you may not realize, but we actually worked together in the past, creating drills that all these agencies would come together and then practice this out. In fact, this has been done many years. In fact, every year there are drills, and we should involve chemical and, in fact, sometimes radiological situations apart from explosions. And, in fact, in the past, there was a drill which was whereby a scenario of a terrorist lab. Suddenly there was an explosion and there was enough gas. So it was practiced. And we deal with the hazmat team
mm-hmm.
who would come in to assess the field decontamination
station. What's hazmat?
Yep.
Hazmat stands for hazardous material.
Right.
In short,
hazardous material team.
Right, okay.
And they're the ones who went to do the exercise
the
in KLI2,
that's right, yeah.
the
right.
decontamination exercise.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
right. They are actually... a body under the Fire and Rescue Department.
That's right.
So they specialize in these CBRNE situations. So they have the resources, trained personnel, and also equipment. Whenever there's such situation, they would go in to actually sweep the area, detect the agent, as well as perform decontamination, clean them up, and then passing them over to the medical team.
Mm.
Not only that... we also have, even the military has the training and installation of the nuclear, biological and chemical unit. There are capacity to, in fact, there are like field mass decontamination system available that they could fly in, lay it out for the public to go through. So these are things that we actually do in drills. And from the drills, we draw the strength and weaknesses and try to improve along the way and working with the agencies to handle these situations.
Mm.
So whenever we have that mass situation, spillage and all that, I mean, there are stages that we go through that, like
sure.
containment, maybe if it doesn't involve many people, it's the hazmat team first, but we'll be standing by to take up the patients after decontamination and things like that.
Were you ready at all for this?
Oh,
I mean, you're never ready, right?
Right,
until it happens.
Well, I mean, thank goodness, you know, our country doesn't face like major disaster like earthquakes yeah. and things like yeah. that. But something like that.
But
like,
you worry about complacency when that
exactly.
doesn't happen.
Exactly.
Then how ready are we?
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's a good question. How ready are we?
Yeah.
I think we try to be ready. We're never ready, but I think we put in reasonable measures to try to prepare for that. To anticipate for that. We talk about looking at the papers or reports in the past of the situations. And I think the most prominent one was the sarin incident in Tokyo in 1995.
Yes, the Om, what was it?
Om Shinrikyo.
That's right.
Yep. Om Shinrikyo.
The Hindus would say Om.
It's interesting yeah. because about 12 people died, if I'm not mistaken, from the incident.
Yes.
But there were 5,000 people appearing at the doorsteps of hospitals around Tokyo.
Yes, because you can't tell who has got it and who's who. That's right.
Yes.
That's right. And
yeah.
in this massive number of people,
yes.
right?
Because that was sarin. Okay, sarin is like 100 times less potent than VX. During those situations, when this happens, I mean, there are people around in Japan who noticed the symptoms. And they could connect it to what could have caused that. Because what was found during that time there was this group of people. They brought this sarin and put it in polystyrene food containers. Mm-hmm. And they went into the subway, and then they brought an umbrella. So before they left the subway, they just broke these food boxes with the umbrella. Mm-hmm. And then the gas would affect the commuters. So one single symptom that was most common at that point of time when they appeared at the doorsteps of the emergency rooms in Tokyo was they were complaining that the world was the world seems to become smaller.
Narrower,
mm-hmm. smaller.
Yep.
Because one of the effects of this nerve agent is that it causes your pupils, your eye pupils, to become so small, like a pinpoint, yeah. that you see the small become smaller. And in fact, that's one of the earliest symptoms. Mm-hmm. And in fact, one of the things that actually raise our tentacles, antenna.
Yeah, you know? As soon as you examine a patient, yeah. says either that or cocaine or something.
We always say at the triage counter of the emergency mm-hmm. departments that one case is an incident, two is a coincidence, and three is a trend. Mm-hmm. So when we see three, it's a trend. Something is just not right. That we would investigate that further, and we would actually communicate that situation because there's a potential of something bad out there mm-hmm. which is happening that we need to understand more.
So I suppose we didn't go into second and third stage within this case.
No. There was a single man.
Right.
And I wonder how many of us actually would have realized the symptoms if it were in fact the case.
I mean, do you have time to realize it? Because, you know, it kills quite fast, right? I mean, funny you mentioned about Tokyo, right? And the other one which I read was 1994.
Yes.
The Osaka, that was VX, right? You know, that was Osaka, 93.
Yes.
But interesting things which we like to kind of analyze a little bit compared this Malaysian's incidents with things that actually had been used before. That was reported, 93's one was the first public use of VX on a individual. Three people were killed.
Yes.
And they didn't realize it was VX until 18 months later.
Yes. Yes.
And why would we know it so fast?
Yes.
Why is that the case?
It's okay.
Because we're always ready.
I think those.
And then, you know, somebody obviously somewhere realized trigger straight away is like, you know, we will look into that. Because the Japanese was 18 months later going back to the blood and then found out.
Yes, true. In fact, how they found that out, it was related to the same group, Aum Shinrikyo.
Okay.
This very same group actually organized that. And what they did was that they just apply this VX on the skin of the victim, three of them. Actually, one died, two survived. And nobody knew until after the sarin gas incident. All this group of the cults of mm-hmm. the Aum Shinrikyo, mm-hmm. They were hauled up, and then during the interrogation, then they got this information. Then they went back to investigate and found out the VX were actually used onto this.
And that was the first reported public execution or public assassination.
How were we on top of things? I mean,
I know, that's an interesting concept.
Were you involved?
No. I think I've got to make it clear that my intention is for awareness.
For awareness
for the public to understand rather than to live with not understanding and fear for no reason. So
because, obviously we realize that we are talking in the medical viewpoint of this this agent, how it will affect people and how people should be assured that, you know, the airport is safe now at the moment sort of things.
Yes.
And then, but the interesting kind of things that has developed, obviously, in the last 24, 48 hours, you know, there were questions about whether this individual actually had died of a heart attack, mm-hmm. right? Okay.
We'll come back.
I mean, if anybody would have, you know, with that sort of size, that sort of age, had just dropped dead in the airport, most people would just say he had a heart attack, right?
Yes.
That's interesting things. Let's talk about that later.
No wonder it's the number one killer in the world. Everyone's dying of heart attack.
Because common things being common, right?
Absolutely.
Everyone who dies has his heart stop.
Absolutely.
Eventually.
We're discussing, trying to understand nerve gas better. If you have a question for us, give us a call. The number is 03-77-109-000. You can tweet BFM Radio or WhatsApp us on 016-201-9000.
See, basically what this agent does, it prevents the deactivation of a neurochemical transmitter which causes muscle contraction and relaxation. So when the chemical is released, it will contract. But that chemical must be inactivated quickly to cause a relaxation. But there is an enzyme in that process. When you knock out that enzyme, then the muscle goes into a state of permanent contraction. And this one, the doses were so high, so it did it so fast and all over the body, so it would have affected the heart, it would have affected the lungs, it would have affected everything. So as you know, VX only requires 10 milligrams to be absorbed into the system, to be lethal. So I presume the amount of dose which went is more than that. And this is one of those agents which absorbed well through the skin, because obviously they applied on the skin and the absorption level was so rapid, you know, within a few minutes the guy actually had symptoms.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. It's our Health and Living segment. Dr. George Lee, consultant urologist in the studio with us, together with Dr. Alzamani Idris, an emergency physician and disaster medicine specialist from HKL. We're discussing nerve gas. That was, of course, our good Minister of Health explaining to us.
He knew what he was talking about.
He absolutely knew.
That's right.
He's a doctor.
That's right. I know. And also, if you have been to the Health and Living event, you realize that his voice tremors a lot more when Mira asks him questions. Obviously, you know, with CNN, you know, CNBC, it doesn't matter.
But that's chemistry.
No. The man knows his work.
But, you know, obviously he was talking about. Well, actually, he explained it really well.
It is really well.
You know, he explained it in a layman's term.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Because, you know, the system, the kind of nerve contracting system, it's how we use a lot of drugs to manipulate it. Like, for example, in the bladder, then in order to make the bladder bigger, less contraction, so patients don't actually go to toilet so often, we use something called anticholinergic receptors, you know, inhibitors. We use this medication in order to do that. Yeah. So that is a beauty of physiology.
What does that do?
It actually just stops the contractions of the bladder and makes it actually more expanded, and then can accommodate more urine. However, what the minister described, essentially, whenever you have a nerve ending that is reaching a muscle in order to cause it to contract, and then that neurotransmitter needs to be broken down so that the relaxation occur, because otherwise you'll be permanently contracted. And then that breaking down system, it's breached. It's actually inhibited. And that's why it's contracting all the time.
So this gentleman must have been in a lot of pain, because I can't imagine spasms not... You know, it stays.
Yeah. So what sort of symptoms would he have gone through before he died?
Yeah.
Okay, if we were to understand the physiology of the body, our body, I mean, we don't have to think when our heart beats, when we breathe, food moves along our intestine. All the muscles there, they just move without you having to think. There are two types of this autonomic nervous system. One is what we call sympathetic. The other one is parasympathetic. Sympathetic is that when you see ghost. When you see a ghost, your eyes get dilated, your heart beats faster, you start to breathe faster, and then, you know.
I can think of seeing someone else.
And the parasympathetic is the opposite of that. Your eyes doesn't get dilated, you just get smaller, and your heart slows down. So for this acetylcholine, which works on the parasympathetic portion of this autonomic nervous system, when it's not broken up, it will actually accentuate everything with the parasympathetic nervous system.
Mm.
And this actually caused them to have lots of secretions. Their eyes become pinch-pointed. Yeah?
Right.
There will be vomiting, there will be diarrhea. And
so basically, whole body becomes leaky.
So it's basically, if there is any hole in the body, water will come out.
Really?
I see.
Yeah, so lacrimation, even teary eyes and, you know, and sweating.
So the victim would have... died of, yes. You know, drown your own secretions?
Yes, you could drown in the fluids within the lungs.
And also, the presumably, the diaphragm wouldn't contract, the heart stop beating.
Yes, the heart becomes slower, and he could develop seizure, the muscles get twitching. So those are the symptoms that would be affected by this.
And these are all developed within 2 hours?
Depends on the potency of VX. It would develop in minutes.
It was very quick.
Yes.
Right. It was very, very quick. Yes. We have a question here via text message. You said that VX, when comes in contact with the skin, will cause immediate fatality. Why then did the two ladies who supposedly used their bare hands did not experience any symptoms? Bare hands. I mean, I think
I can't comment on the case because it's under investigation. There are things that we do not know, to be fair.
Yes. Yeah.
But let's understand VX. Now, unlike sarin, VX is it's difficult for it to evaporize.
Mm-hmm.
It is odorless. There's no odor to it. It's, there's no smell. There's no color. Colorless.
No but, taste either.
I've never tasted it before. But
well, my notes say no taste. Someone's tried it.
Yeah.
Well, we can always find an intern to try it here at BFM.
It's hard to evaporate. From the literature. If the VX is just stays there, if you open a box with a VX inside, the gas would stay there, and you not get the effect because it's hard to evaporate.
So it comes in oil form?
Yes. Oily, syrupy.
I mean, so you know, there's some portrayal of, it's like the movie, I watched too many movies, the movie The Rock portrayed it, right?
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
And then it says that it's aerosol and things like that. It doesn't quite work right?
You could put it in a spray bottle and spray on someone's face, but it still gets to you very close, in close proximity.
It has to be.
It has to touch. So it has to touch your skin, it has to be inhaled, or even ingested, or better, mixed in food or coffee.
Okay.
So you will get the effect. But just by itself, it is like, you know, like Vaseline. It doesn't get evaporated that easily.
Right.
So if you look in history, even in Japan, it was sarin that was used for the mast for the subway attack,
yes.
not VX. When in fact, VX was used first by the same group.
Right.
So there has to be some sort of the character of the nerve gas of the VX. So now, if that means someone who uses maybe some protection, there were even some rumors. I'm not sure. Only chemists could actually confirm this. That sometimes the agent, the compound, can be prepared in two separate things, joined and mixed together, and then only it becomes active.
So
this is something that we do not know. But by the characteristic of the VX itself, that if a certain protection is applied, that it is not as easily vaporized compared to other nerve agents.
Is there a potential for the people who used it and then get the antidotes later? I mean, immediately after? Is there such a thing as an antidote?
Yes.
Can we just listen to... Yeah. I think the minister did address
that.
Give me a minute.
Even small amounts, the effects can come on a later date. So we need to observe them for a longer period of time. We might observe them for at least 2 to 3 weeks.
And there you go. You have to also observe them, but they observed very quickly here, which is really because it was so in potent amounts. Am I correct?
Yeah, if it is potent amount, yes.
It's almost immediate.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
All right then. So
there is
one.
A biochemical transmitter called ethanol choline esterase. Erythrocyte cholinesterase. Erythrocyte means red blood cells, for those of you who don't know. Erythrocyte cholinesterase. The level of which was suppressed many, many folds. And that is one of the features of this VX poisoning. So when we detected that, we already suspected that that was a form of organophosphate poisoning, but much, much, much more toxic than the type we use to kill insecticides in the normal. We knew that because the suppression level was so massive. So when the results came back that it is actually a compound related to that, And so, of course, it confirms our suspicion.
There you go. So that's how they actually...
Yes. It's not something unusual. The minister was very, very right. Because in the past, that's how we confirmed when the organophosphate poisoning affects a patient.
That's right.
Or even we even had incidents in the past, but it was well handled. But it was all in it all revolved around the insecticides.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, many listeners probably will wonder, like, you know, if you had somebody who was this age and this build who dropped dead, most people would think common things being common,
yes,
you know, we'll do a cardiovascular event that actually caused it. And if anybody presented with vomiting and then, you know, suddenly feeling unwell, you know, a bit hallucinated, you would think of toxicology. Would you automatically check that for whether this is VX kind of toxin if somebody had just, you know, being wheeled into GHKL for this?
Common things are common first. In fact, vomiting is one of the symptoms of a heart attack. So this will be confirmed by the ECG that we do on the patient, and also the cardiac biomarker that would actually confirm that this patient actually has a heart attack. So it is not all the time that we will do this cholinesterase level, yeah, but only with the history that is pointing toward this, or along the investigation that we can't find. In fact, most of the time, we don't wait for the results of that because we treat readily.
Yes.
So nowadays we do have patients affected by drugs and all that.
Yeah.
So the clinical presentation actually is enough for us to start to giving the antidote. The drug's use is not unusual, and it's available throughout our hospital, throughout Malaysia. It's just atropine and pralidoxime. Mm-hmm. And this atropine actually works in a way opposite to the effect of the acetylcholine.
I'm just thinking, you know, if, for an example, if I were to have gone and helped this gentleman who had VX smeared on his face, I wouldn't know.
Would you be at risk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would I be at risk?
Good question. So if that person, the people who had who helped him had that symptoms, I'm going into that case.
That's right.
We just say that in general.
Yeah.
So I won't comment on that case because
Let's go back to Japan.
I wouldn't have information on that. But for situations like in other places, and in fact, we did have some experiences such situation. But the most important thing is that we're talking about the contaminating patients,
yes,
you know, meaning that it's a very sophisticated word, decontamination. But basically what I mean is that to remove clothes by which 90% of the agents removed, and then to shower with water and soap,
right,
which would remove another 10%. The soap, in its alkali form, mm-hmm, is enough for us to wash away this agent, and then we take the patient and treat the patient. So if the effect is that bad, it's still there, some of you may get the effect. It is not uncommon. I mean, we do handle organophosphate poisoning, the insecticides,
yes,
at our emergency rooms. And of course, we would subject this patients to decontamination, meaning that we take the clothes off and then we start to shower the patient.
Mm.
All major hospitals in Malaysia have a decontamination room. So whoever appears at the counter at the emergency department, if they have situations like this that needs decontamination, they will be sent to the decontamination room, and this process will be done. In the meantime, the staff, the personnel, would actually wear a protective clothing so that they would not be affected by this. And after they have been washed, and then only they can be handled in the usual manner.
Okay.
So, if to answer your question, whether you could be affected, there's a possibility that you may be affected. But I'm just saying that with the nature of VX, being it is very difficult for it to vaporize, that you may not get it easily as compared to other agents.
Okay. It's a potential, yeah, but the risk is minimal.
Yes. Yeah, okay.
I mean, I'm so sure that the Klang Valley is listening. They want to know three things. Number one, the people who were there on that day, are they okay?
At risk, yeah.
And then number two, is the airport safe? Can we go and use the airport? Number three, is that the hospital that treated them, are the staff all right? Yeah. Can you kind of categorically assure the listening public?
So the cheap way to determine this is to see the people who work on that day, are they affected?
Mm-hmm.
So they're not affected. I mean, this is one of the symptoms, sign of the symptom. I mean, we are like Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
We look at not just the patient's symptoms, but the situations around it for us to conclude something. So so far they are fine. So far, that's a good indication. But in any case, it just goes back to even VX character as a chemical. It's hard to vaporize. In fact, it's been known that if it is lies on somewhere deep down on the floor, you're just walking here and there, you would not be affected because it's very heavy.
Mm.
How long does it stay in the environment?
It could stay in months.
For months.
Yeah, it could stay in months. But
wear your shoes, people.
Yeah.
And how are they broken down? Once they're broken down, are they still active?
What breaks it down?
It's just by nature.
On its own.
Dilution. Everything that is diluted by parts per million.
Well, because it is so toxic. Even if it's diluted, it's like, because later on, I'm hoping that you can elaborate a little bit about how this was developed and certain countries stockpiles them.
Yes.
When it's destroyed, how were they destroyed? It's like, that will be all interesting history.
Actually, the Americans, what they did was put all these VX together and put them in old ships which were no more usable, and then sink the ship deep into the ocean.
That's what I read.
They sent the ship off to some other part of the world and just hope that it would sink. Where it sank, we don't know.
Nobody knows.
Man.
In fact, they tried to track it. They only could track some parts, just some of the ships, but not all.
Okay. On that note, we will probably take
We're
a
going
break.
Into a market update coming up after this on BFM 89.9. Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Meera Sivasodhi. It's our Health and Living segment. It's Friday. That means Dr. George Lee, consultant neurologist, in the studio with us. And we have with us also Dr. Alzamani Idrus, an emergency physician and disaster medicine specialist from Hospital Kuala Lumpur. We're discussing nerve gas. We're trying to understand it and try and break that down for us. So, Dr. Alza, the hazmat team, the hazardous materials team that conducted the decontamination exercise in KLI 2 weeks after the incident was okay? Because my first reaction was 2 weeks later we go in and try and decontaminate. What about that period of 2 weeks? Were we, any one of us, exposed to it? Is it too late? Is there a reason to be concerned about its potential side effects? You know, that kind of thing.
I think we need to be fair. Because let's compare it to sarin. Sarin, they are easily, for sarin gas attack in Tokyo in 1995, 5,000 people were affected. The hazmat team would actually be alerted immediately. But here we're talking about one man who died, and nobody knew what he died from. I mean, we had exercise in place of controlling all these nerve agents or compounds that could actually be used to make nerve gas attack through our act under the OPCW, Organization for Prevention of Chemical Weapon. But here you find for the first time a guy actually died, and he could die just from anything.
Mm.
So, and there are no one else surrounding him who died. We always say, I think I mentioned earlier on, we always say that one is an incident, two is a coincidence, three is a trend.
We haven't seen two yet, not
even to see a trend.
Is there any kind of lag effect, like, maybe we'll start seeing this over a period of time?
No, the effect would be rather immediate. Okay. If you have the effect, it would be rather immediate. So we have not seen this. To be fair, what was found was later confirmed by the chemical department. Mm. And once it was confirmed, then the hazmat very quickly went in to actually sweep the place. They have their gadgets. Mm. They have their gadgets to detect nerve gas. Nerve agents, and those are used as best as they could. So looking at that, and also the characteristics, since it's confirmed VX, and we know the characteristic of it, that you need to really, really have the VX in touch with your body for it to have an effect. It, by itself, for it's just difficult for it to just get vaporized and get inhaled by people who walk past here and there. And everyone wears shoes anyways. Yes. And the airport is being cleaned all the time by the
funny
workers.
Funny you said the airport's being cleaned, because it suddenly occurred to me, what about the cleaners?
Yes.
Who are mopping the floors? Mm. Who would, you know, okay, rinse that mop and come in contact? I'm just, my mind is going.
Okay.
Really?
Well, just think of the ship. It has tons of these, you know, somewhere floating in the sea.
No, but this is KLIA, George.
We in any situation, even in a real story, I mean, we're talking this on presumption of the possibility. It doesn't mean that it's there. But even with that presumption or possibility, the practice of washing with water and soap, that is the practice to actually decontaminate surfaces. Mm. And this being done even from day one, not even on daily basis and many times a day. So the such chance and risk, and also the taking into account the character of VX, mm-hmm, makes it very slim chance or risk, because if there is so, we would have already seen it by now.
By now. Yes. Okay. And I do, in a way, believe that we take our hazardous materials
a bit
team.
Too, please.
No, they're pretty on the ball.
Yes. Well,
because I was just reading just a couple of months back of how a school science lab dropped their thermometer.
Oh, yes.
And immediately the team came in. And I was like, why the overreaction? But mercury is considered a hazardous material as well.
It's extremely toxic. Yes.
And this is just a school science lab.
Yes, yes. And even for that case, it took a lot of coordination, because it comes from the point of handling the situation, the patient, and the treatment of the patient that was coordinated finally.
Funnily, you mentioned mercury, right? Okay, because this whole scenario that happened in KIA, right? Okay, it's almost like 1978, the umbrella incident in London.
Okay.
You know, the Bulgarian spy and then was being assassinated. You know, and that sort of thing. You know, the Bulgarian. I think that was ricin or sarin.
Sarin.
Okay, anyway. And then that was the kind of how it was done. And then there was a copycat attack in Germany using mercury, because mercury is readily available and again put into a device in the umbrella trying to actually stab somebody and that sort of thing. And then so you're right that, you know, mercury is also toxic, and people think about, you know, almost copycat attacks to do this.
So if you were to drop a thermometer at home, so do we call in the hazmat team? I'm just curious. I mean, it is mercury at the end of the day.
Well, it needs a lot more of collection, but do not play with it, because kids tend to actually take it, bring it to school, because it could affect you. So don't do it. Destroy it, such situation. But when we talk about the situation last time, that was actually a lot of mercury that was accumulated at one site, and that caused the effect would be actually significant. So that was the point, Yang, that the hazmat team had to be called in,
right,
and the response had to be coordinated.
Okay.
The one that you have at home is, nowadays you don't use...
Yes, we use the digital ones.
You use the digital ones these days.
So some of us, you keep mercury one because we're dinosaurs.
No, I think it's more accurate than the digital ones, don't you think? Come on.
My eyesight, I can't even read it properly now.
That's because you're in denial. Get your spectacles,
absolutely,
George.
Yes.
Okay, so we're running out of time. Just very quickly, what would you like us to take away from this, Dr. Elza?
I think we need to understand, we talk about nerve agent, but we do have insecticides, and basically these nerve agents have the same compound of these insecticides. And along throughout the years, in fact, every year, there are drills for which we practiced on chemical situations. And our plans throughout the country, the disaster plan, all incorporate all these chemical nerf agents along the way. We have been making preparations. We are never ready, but we do not stop in trying to be prepared for such situations. So all the whatever antidotes for these nerf agents, it's not uncommon drugs that we actually have available throughout the hospitals in Malaysia, and they are cheap antidotes that could be used. So I think by understanding, the public should allay the fear. And also, we should also be aware, not only we practice this, but we have the Chemical Weapon Act 2005, whereby every throughout the year, many times there are meetings conducted under this Organization of Prevention of Chemical Weapon, or OPCW, in Malaysia, in Putrajaya. So doctors, the immigrations, the customs, the hazmat team, the fire and rescue, all agencies, chemistry department, even the military, we all sat together so that we are coordinated in actually planning, not only in preventing, not only in controlling the availability of compound to make chemical weapon, or also the import of materials that could be used for that, as well as all the way in practicing it in drill, as well as in the hospitals where we manage our patients. So I hope the public would understand about nerve agent, then, and by understanding that we could we would not be fearful unnecessarily, and to overreact unnecessarily. Knowledge is good, trying to understand is good, and with that, and I think we could actually make the situations much more calm, and hopefully we can have peace along the way. And it's much more nicer that you could walk around with not burdening your
head. Not worrying.
Well, I think we were quite calm, don't you think?
Yeah, you were.
We didn't overreact.
Yes.
We were too calm about
it. Yeah. Well, actually, the two kind of like final messages I got out
from
of this,
this.
From this, right? Okay. Number one is that I was astonished that how this actually was developed from a pesticide in 1950s. You know, in order to develop pesticide and eventually just built into a chemical weapon, and then that is can be used, and also how it was disposed and everything like that, actually got me really worried, because before this I knew nothing about it, and the more I read about it, the more kind of like worried I am about how this can develop into something like this. However, on the flip side, I know Malaysia is in a limelight at the moment, you know, in the public kind of global arena. 2 years ago, we were also in a limelight, you know, for the disaster, obviously, the, you know, MH370. I think we receive a lot of criticism about how we reacted to this. And this time round, I don't think we receive any criticism. It's because the diagnosis was made quickly and then the press were handled quickly. We have a doctor who is the kind of like, you know, Minister of Health and actually handled this, knew exactly what we're talking about. And also unsung heroes, you know, all working behind the background here, actually, number one, keeping us safe, number two, assuring us, and we think this time we've done it well.
Yes. Would you say this is an isolated incident, Dr.
Yes,
Alza?
Yes,
very
it
much
is.
An isolated
incident. Isolated incident in terms of we're doing well, or isolated incident? No, of course we're doing
well,
all the time, full stop.
Thank you both for joining me today. We were discussing the VX nerve agent, or trying to understand it better, with Dr. George Lee, consultant neurologist, and Dr. Alzamani Idrus, an emergency physician and disaster medicine specialist from Hospital Kuala Lumpur, on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.